This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
Movie Date. Yes, sir, we're going on a movie date. Kristen and Rafer, they're watching the flicks. On the Takeaway website, they're making their picks. Yeah, the red carpet's out, the lights are bright. It's a movie date tonight.
So last week, Kristen and I saw a couple weeks ago, Kristen and I saw an advanced screening of Night and Day.
We sure did.
Action comedy, Tom Cruise.
Cameron Diaz,
the comeback film, so it is hoped, for Tom Cruise. And Kristen and I promised each other as we came out of the theater that we would not say anything until today. And now we will discover what we each think of the film.
I'm so proud of us that we didn't say anything.
We didn't say
anything. We could have easily said something, and we did not. And I'm just going to say the thing that I don't think you want to hear, which is, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
You're so unpredictable. It's just such a coin toss. I had no way of figuring out what you'd say.
I so enjoyed it. I had idea what was going on through most of it, and that didn't matter. To feel like I can't follow the plot line whatsoever and still enjoy a movie, that's very rare for me.
That's high praise. High praise indeed.
And Rafer?
I thought it was barely passable. I thought it barely cleared the hurdle of a watchable action comedy film.
And how do you really feel about it?
I really feel, when they asked me on The Takeaway, I think I said something vague to the effect of, it just wasn't that great. Not the most articulate review I've ever given a film, but that's kind of about all I could say. I felt that the film didn't really have a handle on what it was trying to be. I felt that it wanted to be an action comedy. It wanted to be a spoof of an action comedy. It couldn't really decide. It didn't have, in terms of a script, it didn't have the guts to be anything more than just kind of a throwaway film. And that's, to me, is what it became.
Let me just explain a little bit more about why I like this movie.
Lay it on me.
Okay. So Night and Day, ludicrous. The plot is kind of impossible to figure out a lot of the time. You don't know how one thing leads into another. And their solution for it in the movie is just to drug the characters and have everything blur out and then blur back in as they're reaching consciousness again after being drugged.
Yes.
And this is their way of connecting it. And that way you don't have to see all the in-between spots of how the plot got from one place to the next.
Right.
This could be very irritating if you want it to be. Or it could be totally delightful if you look at it as just something like a Bollywood movie, which I see it as kind of like a Bollywood movie. It's like you don't question why they're suddenly dancing in L.A. and then Fiji and then doing backflips in Tokyo.
Right.
You just say, you know what? It's Bollywood. They're dancing. It doesn't matter. They can't kiss. Let's just dance.
Right.
It's fine. And
right.
That's kind of how I felt about Night and Day. This is just, it's ludicrous. They need to make the plot go somewhere. The plot, which doesn't really matter.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, listeners, that we haven't even explained the plot yet. And the reason why is partly because we just, I don't really know what to say
about
the
plot.
You could
say, there's almost nothing to say about it except that there's a power source, there's an arms dealer, there are some rogue agents, and everyone's on the run. And
everyone's on the run.
And that's it. That's all there is to it.
And Cameron Diaz, a nice girl who loves to repair cars, just somehow ends up in the middle of all this.
Right.
Cameron Diaz playing that wonderful, gorgeous and yet kind of tomboyish character that she really seems to do well with.
Yes,
and
right.
Tom Cruise playing that kind of cocky sort of super spy, larger than life, very physically adept when it comes to things like martial arts and driving motorcycles while shooting.
Yes.
And so they're each playing characters that we all love them for. But that being said, I know a lot of people that I've told a lot of people that I've seen this movie and their reaction has been,
why?
Oh, God, why? Why did you see
why
this
Why would you
movie?
Go see this? Yes, and you have the defense of saying that it was for your job. But you know, everyone else can't understand why anybody would pay money for it. And not that many people did. It opened with maybe $20 million, I think. And that's counting an extra couple of days because Fox moved the release up to Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To avoid competing with Adam Sandler with Grown Ups. So they had an extra couple days there, and they still could only muster $20 million opening, which is a really bad opening for a Tom Cruise film, one of his worst in years.
Mm.
And I think that brings us to the question, what's happening to Tom Cruise? Which I think a lot of people are asking, is this the end of his career? Is this the beginning of the end? You know, is he still America's favorite movie star? Where does he go from here?
Well, you know, if it's the beginning of the end, I think the beginning actually started when Tom Cruise was jumping on Oprah's couch.
Yes.
I don't think the end came with this movie.
I agree.
If we're reaching the end of his shelf life, it's really jumping on Oprah's couch, screaming about Scientology, telling Brooke Shields that
right.
she was insane for wanting to treat her postpartum depression.
Yes, and telling Matt Lauer how glib he was for even trying to defend her. and telling Matt Lauer that he had not studied psychology, but Tom Cruise had, that he had studied all this and he knew the real truth about psychology and psychopharmaceuticals.
Most of us trust him for that reason.
Exactly.
Yeah, we
exactly.
love Tom Cruise for his knowledge of psychopharmaceuticals.
Right. Right. That was a bad period for Tom Cruise. This 2005, 2007, very bad, bad publicity. And I think that started a real downward spiral for him.
Yeah. And Katie Holmes, a lot of people thought that was supposed to rescue his career, I think, in some ways.
No, I think.
But I think that just made it worse.
I really think so, too.
You know, there were all those rumors of, you know, they're in a contract marriage,
right?
And this is supposed to be covering up some sort of gay episode that happened. There's so many rumors about
right.
why their marriage happened in the first place, and it progressed so quickly. Just 1, 2, 3, before you know it,
yeah.
they're together. 2 months later, they're pregnant. Three
yeah.
months later, they have a baby and they're getting married, and it just progressed so quickly, and a lot of people were scratching their heads what happened there.
Yeah,
and
it made it look as though he had Stepforded her in some way, that he had turned into some kind of Stepford wife. He had married her so young, took her out of the acting game right when she was kind of breaking into the big screen,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, got her pregnant and kept her at home. And that was the last we saw of her for the most part. And there was something, I think, a little freaky seeming about that. And, you know, we obviously none of us have any idea what's actually happening, you know, in their home. But that was the impression that it gave. And I think it was an unsettling impression.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a case of the personal life overshadowing the professional
right.
aspects of his career for a while there. But I would also venture to say this isn't the first time people have thought it was the beginning of the end for Tom Cruise. And
yeah.
do you remember... Oh, when was it? What year was Eyes Wide Shut? It was around that time where...
Yeah, maybe 99 or
yeah,
something?
It was in the late 90s where people thought, oh, Tom Cruise, this is so over with.
It's, right.
It's done. Thank
right.
you, Tom. We enjoyed Risky Business. You may leave now. But
right.
then everyone was really surprised with Jerry Maguire. They thought, oh, that was a tour de force acting
right.
performance. It was amazing. It was amazing. We love Tom Cruise. We never doubted you. But I think there was about a 5-year period before Jerry Maguire where people also thought it was the end of his career.
That could be. I think Eyes Wide Shut, even though that film didn't do very well, and it was probably Stanley Kubrick's worst film, the fact that Stanley Kubrick had chosen Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman to be the leads in his first film in 12 years and what wound up being his last, I think also helped people take a second. I think it made people take a second look at Tom Cruise, and I also think it made people take a second look at Stanley Kubrick. People look at Stanley Kubrick thinking, I wonder what's happened to Stanley Kubrick. And lo and behold, the film wasn't that great. But it's funny because Tom Cruise has worked with pretty much every great director you could want to work with. Kubrick, who is pretty much God,
mm-hmm.
and then Scorsese. And then Spielberg. I mean, he's
Oliver Stone.
I mean, there. You know, he's really hit all the heavyweight directors, and yet people still think of him as something of a lightweight, or they think of him as a movie star and not a proper actor in
yeah,
some way.
I do think that's true. I think that his movie starness makes people expect to only see him be the movie star in the roles too. I think
right.
frequently, and so people are very surprised when they see him do anything other than be that movie star, that Risky Business sort of Top Gun character.
Right.
I think people love seeing him be that
right.
Top Gun, Mission Impossible guy.
Right.
But my favorite roles of his ever were Rain Man.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I loved him in Rain Man.
He was great
and
in that.
I think that Dustin Hoffman got all the credit in that movie. People
yes,
said, oh,
right.
he's amazing. He can count matches so quickly.
Right.
But Tom Cruise, I felt, had the much more difficult role in that movie to
yes.
have to be the one that we sort of understand and relate to and speaks the same language as us. And then I loved him in Born on the 4th of July. It's a movie I saw several times in the theater when it was out. I love
yes.
that movie.
Yeah, he's great in that. I think I do think also that Tom Cruise really is a movie star in the best possible sense of that term. I mean, in fact, while I was watching Night and Day, thinking, boy, this movie is really not that good, but Tom Cruise God, that guy still is just a movie star to me. He looks great, you know, running across a rooftop. He handles a gun well. You know, he's got a machine gun. He makes it look like a Rolex. You know, he looks fantastic. He's still got that knockout smile, and he's always the thing I think people don't give him credit for is I have never seen a Tom Cruise movie where he just phoned it in. He is always just totally present on screen, maximum intensity. He lights
very
up that
intense.
little fire behind his eyes, whatever that little you know illumination thing he's got going. His eyes just light up, and he's always just right there on screen, even if the movie itself is kind of crummy. And I think that's a great thing about Tom Cruise, and that takes a lot of effort and a lot of work. He's not just showing up, you know, flashing his pearly whites. He works at it, and I think he does a good job.
But there's this other question. Where does he go from here? Yes, he's a great...
Yes.
I mean, he's so fantastic, in my opinion, in Night and Day, at just being, you know, very charming, a little bit naughty.
Yes.
Very good at using guns and so on. But he's almost 50 right now. How much longer can he be this guy, the one who grabs a girl, throws him onto his motorcycle, and then starts shooting things?
Well, at least until Mission Impossible 4, which is coming out in a year or two, right? So.
Yeah, but, I mean, it almost seems to... be now that, I mean, I guess you can do it until your 50s, Robert Downey Jr. has with Iron Man, but there does reach a point where can you still be this action hero who jumps off of buses and then jumps through the roofs of houses and then starts punching a bunch of people and then steals their car? I don't know how much longer he can keep doing that. Eventually he might have to go in a different direction.
Yeah, and it is tough to imagine what direction that would be. It's tough to see him becoming any kind of a Philip Seymour Hoffman or any kind of a Dustin Hoffman or some kind of
actor. Well, his movie starness is too movie starry.
It's too big. It's too big. I was noticing going back and looking at all his movies that he's never been in a superhero or a comic book film. And I was thinking the reason for that is because when those movies began to dominate Hollywood, he was too big to fit in tights. He was already too big a movie star. You didn't want to put Tom Cruise in a pair of tights or some kind of stupid mask or the Batman suit. You don't want to do that with Tom Cruise. He's too freaking big. And so where does he go? I mean, he played the Les Grossman character, the bald, foul-mouthed movie producer in Tropic Thunder. Mm-hmm. And as we were discussing earlier, they're now making an entire feature film based on that character. But you got to wonder, is that the best road for Tom Cruise to go down at this point? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I'll be curious to see what he does next. I just hope it's not a bunch more self-mocking sort of things like that.
I hope not, too. It'll be an interesting transformation to see.
Yes, sir, we're going on
a
movie day.
Thank you, Kristen.
Kristen and Rafer, they're watching the flicks. On the Takeaway website, they're making their picks. Yeah, the red carpet's out, the lights are bright. It's a movie day tonight.